Good morning. Gio here for another SoloCast episode. Today I am recording inside my new sauna. I figured how to get it. Doing try this at home. Up over 220, so 225. So I'm hoping I can get to the end of this episode without my phone overheating. Or myself overheating. So maybe a little bit shorter one than usual. And finally got the ice bath installed here by a good friend of mine, Joe. Iceworks Bath Co. And I'm so proud of him. Like, when we initially met at Elemental, he came. He's kind of like just struggling finding, like, not resonating so much with what he was doing. I think it was like a family plumbing company. And I just made the suggestion, hey, we're looking for someone to build an ice bath. I knew he was into triathlete and wellness. Like, you think you can build me one? And now he's building the most amazing ice baths in the world, man. And he's built custom ice baths made of cedar and figured out a really awesome cooling system. They are legit, so check those out. Perfect part of a daily routine. Ice bath, sauna, meditation. And yeah, one thing I just really am so grateful for is I got back into a routine. You know, in Costa Rica, it was like sunrise at 5, the sun gets you up. You know, sun's down at 5:36, I'm in bed by 8. And I had a really solid routine. And I feel like being back in Canada, one, just because so many people want to do stuff. It's just super busy. It's hard to get into that state of routine. But I'm finally back doing, you know, short meditation every day. Started doing a little bit of exercise. And I'm reading this awesome book called The Naked Warrior, which is really all about strength and not really having to work out so much, but just making sure the workouts count. And I'm really, really loving it. I can't remember the author's name, but it's called The Naked Warrior. And also just really got back into reading The Way to Love. So if you haven't read The Way to Love by Anthony DeMello, it's one of the best books ever written, small pocket size. And like, as you go through life and as you keep evolving, or this is my personal experience, every time I read it, it lands a little bit different, you know, because I have a deeper understanding, because I may have experienced something that I can relate to in the pages. And, you know, the first time I read it, you know, it's kind of like a understanding from the mind, you know, this makes sense. Oh, I can see that. Oh, wow, it's a different way of putting things. And you plant that seed, and then you start experiencing those types of experiences, you know, where it's just letting go and just being yourself and not identifying with the things or the labels that you put on you, and just being to be. Or that expression of like the rose that just blooms to be a rose, whether a bee comes to land on it or anyone sees it or human smells it, it doesn't matter. It's always trying to be that rose. The essence of it is to bloom. To grow thorns, to protect itself, to shine in the sun, whether or not anyone even notices it, it's just going to be a rose. And, you know, I found myself reflecting on, like, the way that I act and the way I show up, the different masks we wear in front of different people, you know, to either appease them or to not be judged. And, you know, how can we be more of ourselves all the time? And so that's been an interesting challenge, but also great challenge in the same way, just reflect on when I feel that's coming up or when I feel the need, you know, where ego comes in, you know, and challenges me. And it happens still a lot in different areas, you know, where, you know, I feel like, you know, for example, you know, someone may be doing something that's kind of like copying what I'm doing or taking credit for my work. And I just feel the sense of, oh, I want everyone to know that that was me. You know, and almost saying this, I feel like I'm trying to do that right now. So I won't give any specific examples. But the reminder is, hey, like, that's just a beautiful compliment that people are liking what you're doing and it's okay. It's actually the best way, you know, like, to not have to take credit, just to know that, you know, you created something or did something that someone else is using to create change or good or to share, et cetera. So, yeah, so those are two books I'm reading. Timely, highly recommend both of them. Just got back from Summer Days Festival and, oh my God, it was so good. You know, the founders, Jordan and Nabil, beautiful family, beautiful couple. We met them last year at Camp Summer Days. They also live half the year in Costa Rica. On the other side, closer to Dominical, which is more like a rainforesty area, a little bit more wet, a little bit more lush. They don't get the dry season like we do in Osara. Yeah, so they just bought a new piece of property. It's about 4 hours northeast of Toronto, in nature. And we brought our kids. They bring in these awesome DJs. And, like, the vibe there is so amazing. You know, in the past, you go to these booze-fueled raves with tons of drugs and It's definitely a different energy. When you go here, it's really about the music. There's workshops during the day. There's kids playing. People are respecting nature. Everyone's getting along. You meet the most interesting people from all different walks of life. People who are interested in, you know, self-development and, you know, you get coaches and you get artists and really is just a beautiful way to meet people. And just to watch my kids thrive, you know, also just like so heartwarming, you know, them kind of getting a glimpse into what we do and seeing the music scene and dancing and playing and getting to meet all these people. And, you know, both kids, you know, you see them evolve a little bit each time we go to one of these things. I'm going to pause because my son's coming right now. And we're back. And so, my son Joseph found this stick. It's like a one by one stick, and all the kids were throwing sticks in the fire. And, you know, he made some carvings on it and made this cool stick. And my friend Roxy Moon and him started playing around, calling it the stick. And it ended up into this thing where they would get someone to hold the stick, and then they would do this funny thing like, oh, the stick, blah, blah, and they would like wave their hands, and Amaya would jump in and go, oh, you got stick. Then they would laugh, and it was just hilarious thing. And like, just to see him come out of his shell like that. And then, you know, one guy shared a story. It was like, he was really hesitant to grab it. My kids told me, but I was like, so did anyone just like not laugh at the stick or not find it fun? He's like, yeah, there's this one guy, and he's actually our neighbor at camp. And he was like, didn't want to do it, didn't want to hold it. And I gave it to him, and we did the stick on him. And I felt like, you know, like, it felt like he was getting bullied or made fun of and whatever. And so Amaya told him he got sticked, and all the kids ran away laughing. And then I ran back up to him and said, like, hey, like, just want to let you know, every time you get sticked, you get blessed as well. And the guy just, like, had the biggest smile on his face and gave him back the stick. And it was such a beautiful thing to add. And maybe no one knew that they were getting blessed at the same time when they felt like they were getting sticked. And I thought it was an awesome metaphor for life. You know, sometimes you feel like one thing's happening to you, but maybe hidden inside that is almost always an amazing blessing. You know, when you look back on your life and all the things that have happened, and, you know, they're always happening for us. They're always happening for us. And, you know, like overall the vibe there was just this amazing vibration. Like you look at nature and how high vibration things just grow. And, you know, you bring like music and dancing and people, which are also part of nature, to just enjoy in such a free way. Like there was no limitations or restrictions there. They don't serve booze or sell booze. So, you know, a lot easier to not have to follow any of those guidelines or restrictions. But, you know, I recommend anyone, if you want to have a really awesome experience, to check out the next one. We'll be there for sure. We did a few breathwork sessions and just the ability to connect to people. And, you know, so many people came and said such nice things to me and like just felt such a deep connection. It was such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, I walked away from the weekend just again inspired to create some music, you know, whether it's my own guitar songs. Every time I sing songs in my breathwork class, are those your own songs? But no, these are just covers. And, you know, maybe wanting to learn how to like create some electronic music or DJ. And I'm setting the intention because I know if I get into a music flow, I really got to just do that. I got to drop all the other projects that I'm working on to really dive in, because to create something like music, and I think to do it well, and I mean well with just a lot of intention, you really have to get in those intentional spaces. You really got to feel into what you're trying to express. And I remember before I could sing, I didn't think I could sing. I thought I had a bad voice. I tried singing a bunch of times and I was like really off. And I still don't think I have the best voice by far. But in an ayahuasca ceremony, I remember this guy, Chris, from Colorado, little skinny guy. I didn't even know he played music. He was facilitating the ceremony. And about halfway through in the darkness, I hear this guitar come out and this voice, this amazing booming voice, just hits me like a wave of color and feeling and emotion and crying. And I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. I wish I could sing like this. And whether it was Mother Ayahuasca or my own intuition, I said, you can. You just have to sing about something that is meaningful. You have to sing from your heart and share that emotion through your voice, because your voice carries an emotion, it carries a feeling, it carries a signal and that vibration that other humans can pick up on. And so like when I'm doing breathwork, I'm singing with the music, and I'm trying to infuse in my heart the feeling that I'm trying to share, with gratitude, love, forgiveness. And so I went home and I started singing, and I just found songs that were meaningful to me, and they're mainly covers. But when I sang them with that feeling that I wanted to share, with the lyrics that meant something to me. And from there, I just found my voice. And I was able to sing. And I hear a lot of artists out there, and some of them you can tell are very manufactured, and some of them are really soulful, and they really feel into the emotion of each song. And I find there's two kinds of, maybe there's more, but I always categorize them into two. Like, one that really needs the validation. There's singing to be seen, to be heard, to want to impress people for entertainment, for their own validation. And the others, they just really want to connect and share a message. They want you to feel what they're feeling. They want you to share an idea, a thought, an emotion, a process, something like that. And that's the ones that are the most touching to me. And if, I think modern music is kind of losing that a little bit. You still have a few artists that can do it. But like in the 70s, 60s, even 80s, you know, some of the artists then, you know, they really are singing with emotion. And the last thing that really stood out about Summer Days, and it's a constant reminder for me, is just the power of community. And what a healing factor that is. What a healing kind of part of the equation it is. You know, how you know, you can create a healing equation without the community, but you add into that equation the community aspect, and I think it amplifies it so much more. Feeling supported, feeling like you're not alone, having someone to talk to and share with. And we get this in our breathwork class. And, you know, someone also mentioned this week that part of the medicine of the breathwork is that group therapy support. I don't like the word therapy, but, you know, it's that free group therapy after people get to share and connect and open up and, you know, allow themselves to be vulnerable. Because after those breathwork experiences, they drop their boundaries, they drop their security barriers, and they just feel more open and free. And a whole weekend like that in nature can do that as well. And so I think it's so precious and special that, you know, for thousands of years in the tribal setting, you know, it was a community, and there's people that you know and you connect to. And I find like nowadays we're so isolated, so afraid to share how we really feel, so afraid of judgment, so afraid of, you know, and we feel like we're alone and no one feels like us. But the reality of it is there's probably more people that feel like you than feel not like you. You know, and the more we can connect to them and share what works and how we can support each other, I think the better off we'll be as a whole. And, you know, I'm so grateful that our breathwork community has evolved into that, you know, where it just started off as a simple share, became an opportunity to connect with people in a deeper way. And the same thing about music and drumming around a fire for thousands of years with that beat. You know, the DJ is like the shaman, and he's bringing people together to dance and to move and to let go. And there's just something really special about that euphoria that comes with an intentional like music festival like that. Really high vibrational music, really high vibrational people and DJs. And the community at Summer Days is what makes it. And they started this new project on this new land. And it was such a vibe, man. The day party out at the lake, bubbles flowing in the air, people dancing in the water, and people on floaties and sitting up on the hill. And just like the whole thing was just magic. Like stopping time for a moment and just reflecting each moment that I was there. It was like, wow, like I'm so grateful to be here at this time. It's not a care in the world, feeling free and in the moment. So that's my invitation to you guys. Come on out, get it done. Next Summer Days. What else I've been up to is like we're really trying to organize Elemental Rhythm. So up till now, it's been super organic. You know, since we started, people ask me when COVID started if I could teach them how to do it, and I didn't even think I could. To now, we have like 140 facilitators spreading around the world. And if you feel called to be a breathwork facilitator, all you really need is a prerequisite to have a breathwork experience yourself to feel called to it. So we hired Jeremy on, one of the members of our men group, one of our facilitators, to help with project management. I really feel the organization's coming together in a beautiful way. I'm just following that path. Like there's no forcedness to it. It's like allowing it to unfold naturally, and it feels really good. And so we've created all these breathwork tracks online that you guys can listen to. It's called elementalrhythm.com. We have some music collaborations coming up we're going to announce soon, some really awesome artists. I just really feel like it's an awesome opportunity for those that just want to do something different and want to connect with people in a different way, whether it's as a part-time thing, something you do on the side once in a while, or maybe even a transition to something full-time down the road. And just being in the online world is so crazy, like how things like analytics, you know, you just get to like step behind and see like what people are doing, what they're using, you know, the whole like ad marketing and funnel where you start with, you know, just a picture of like someone breathing. And then you kind of like got to tell that story. You got to find their pain points. You know, like what is really like holding someone back that's going to get them to want to try what you have to offer and see if there's value in it. And like kind of like that's what I'm really focusing on. I was like, how do I describe the value of breathwork to people in a way they're going to understand and want to try? and we pinpoint it down to like the type of person we're trying to speak to is like where many of us were at one point, or we're there right now, like just feeling like something is not in alignment. Like something that I've been doing for all these times, like me, you know, where it was like 10 years ago, it doesn't feel right. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm open to explore new things, possibilities, change. And I would try something like breathwork. Maybe I'm not feeling clear. Maybe I'm feeling anxious. Maybe I'm feeling stressed, but I don't have an answer. I don't know why. And it's usually because you're out of alignment, you know, and that's how like your inner self is starting to like tap on the window. Hey, you know, we got to make a change. You don't listen, and the tap gets stronger until it's banging, until, you know, something's jumping to the glass, trying to get your attention. Maybe your body is starting to break down. Maybe you're having anxiety or insomnia, or maybe some physical sickness. And I strongly believe that there's a relationship between that. Maybe breathwork is an answer, maybe not, but the main thing is starting to explore and trying to find out for yourself what feels good and follow your intuition. And sometimes you can't hear the intuition because the mind is too busy. So things like meditation and breathwork can help clear the mind so you can start hearing the subtle voice, the subtle curiosities that pull to certain things. You hear a word and automatically you're intrigued by it. So I've been just focusing on that, just focusing on my strength, getting the project manager to tie all the knots, and just really me focus on creating the program and training instructors. And I just feel a lot better about asking for help, which I find a lot of people have trouble with, including myself. No one wants to look weak or incapable or whatever, or wants to burden someone. But asking for help is such an important way to support yourself, to honor yourself, and to help yourself grow. So if you feel in any aspect of your life you need help, whether it's emotional, mental, whatever, ask someone for help. And not necessarily that they have to do the work for you. Maybe they just need to point you in the right direction. And you can do it. You can do it. So, what else did I want to talk about? Yeah, another thing that came up over the weekend was this like yearning to do nothing. Another guy that I'm working with too, also just talking about how like he always wants to feel this need to check his phone. And this morning I was trying to sleep in. It was 10 o'clock. I knew it was Saturday. I knew I had nothing to do, but I felt like I just had to check my phone to make sure I had nothing to do or to make sure I didn't miss anything. And it's something I've been working on, is just being in the moment, letting go of judgment, trying to just really detach, and not in a way where it's like I'm detached from life or I'm detached from the things happening around me, where I can just live, be present. And the phone came up. And I realized this weekend, like since I was 18, I hadn't really had a stretch where I had nothing to do, where I had no reason to check my phone. Because since then is when I really got into being an entrepreneur. And from then I was chasing money, and then I was busy, and then I was evolving into more of what I'm doing today, and then even busier. And I feel like I would just love to do nothing for a year straight. So I'm setting that as an intention within the next 2 to 3 years to clear my plate completely, so I can dive deeply into music and meditation and more of like a spiritual practice. Who knows? I might get bored of that real quick, because I found my mind does not like being still for too long. Maybe that's why I keep searching for the phone. But do you feel the same? Like, how long can you be away from your phone before you feel it start calling you? Like, I gotta leave it in a different room now, or leave it in the car when I go somewhere. And, you know, just working with this guy who felt really attached to his phone, you know, I could see it in myself. You know, I could see it how, like, I still have that in many ways. And just moving towards, like, hey, like, 18 years, so 22 years, 24 years of doing this. You know, I think it's time to start winding back. And then on top of that, you know, I probably talk about this in some of the ayahuasca, just the emotional toll that takes on your body when you're pushing forward and you're grinding so hard, and it's so rewarded in today's society, but we don't give ourselves enough time to reflect on, like, hey, like, what's the toll this took on my emotional body? And maybe now after, you know, 15, 20 years, it starts coming out as anxiety and fear and stress. You know, when you're in stress mode for too long, your body starts going into this like survival mode, where it starts looking for anything that could go wrong, the worst possible scenario in every scenario. You start having these weird phobias, and you can't sleep, and you're worried about, you know, like car crashes and going on the highway and break-ins. And, you know, that's why it's really important to reduce the stress in your body, to have a practice, you know, whether it's sauna, ice bath, breathwork, meditation, all of these things. And the last thing that came up this week is, you guys, some of you may know, like last year I bought a Jeep. And there's something really interesting about Jeep culture. How most Jeep drivers, they'll wave to other Jeep drivers, and they have nothing in common except driving a Jeep. And I find that so fascinating, because you feel this connection when someone waves at you, and it feels good to relate, and we have this one thing in common. And, you know, some people think it's silly. My wife thinks it's silly. She's like, you know, whatever. It's such a weird thing. But there is this sense of connectedness in that moment where a stranger who just drives a Jeep says hi to you and waves and acknowledges you. And I was thinking, like, those people can have different political views, different medical health views, things that people are fighting over, different views on the war in Ukraine and Russia, different views on everything. But I'm able to still find this piece of connection. And I wish humans can do that just on the fact that we're human, just on the fact that we're alive, just on the fact that we have a heart beating. We probably care about a lot of the similar things. I really connect on the things that we have in common rather than focusing on the things that we don't. And just being able to have a conversation in a way that's opened to discussing, like, hey, like, you know, let's talk about this thing and not cancel people because of it. You know, like, imagine on your bumper sticker, you had to have all of your political views, medical views, sports idealism views, which team you follow. So I got to check in all of those before I can say hi to someone that has a Jeep. But in this weird kind of subculture of Jeepism, you know, you can just acknowledge them for being a Jeep owner. You know that they're kind of cool and that they probably have some similar values, or at least that they like a Jeep. And I was like, wow, like, how can we shift that narrative? And I find, like, a lot of the duality in the fight narrative is imposed upon us. We're told that we should hate each other rather than try to understand them. And again, part of the practice from this book, The Way to Love, is just about letting go of that completely. Being able, I think the heading of the chapter was about, you know, Jesus being able to hang around sinners and tax collectors at the same time or something like that. And, you know, it's really about, like, not falling prey to, you know, what it is these people stand for, but just not judging them and trying to, like, understand them in a different way. But yeah, The Way to Love, read it. It's amazing. I can't find the chapter here. Tax collectors and sinners. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? It's such a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Highly recommend this book. Yeah, it's about your self-identity. And it talks about, it's a slow burn. It's a slow realization to get there. A lot of practice and a lot of realizing how you react to certain things and seeing where that programming comes from. And that's kind of like the path for me. It's like every layer goes a little bit deeper. If a realization, you think you know something, you see, hey, there's more to learn here. So I encourage you guys to keep on your own paths. Thank you guys for listening. Gio here in Toronto these days. Would love to connect. Thank you for those that did reach out. And the one thing I love about this podcast, my intention was just to connect with people and keep in the loop with friends and people I don't see that often or as I'm traveling. And it's done that because so many people sent me messages on Instagram or text messages connecting. If something I said resonated or they had a different opinion, I'd love to hear from you guys. So please don't be shy to reach out. I love you guys for listening. Thank you, and have a wonderful day. God bless. Peace.